Hello, and welcome to yet another Big Think Mailbag. We're here to answer your questions as we reside in our Big Think dimension. I would like to thank my co-hosts who are all gathered yet again. Bob from Gig Boots.
Hey, everybody.
KZ from KZExcellent.com.
This is brought to you by the number W.
And Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
My section is brought to you by the letter L.
And we're going to give double thanks to Bob and Bob from K-Boots.
Oh, thanks again, everybody.
Well, we got to thank you twice because you weren't on the last mailbag.
Ooh.
And we're extra lucky to have you this time. So, we've got some questions. Let's just get to it. First question comes from Mozzarella, a.k.a. the Ratter G guy from last episode. Hello, enormous thought galaxy residents. My question is, has a video game ever gotten you to try cooking a particular dish that you saw in-game as delicious, regardless of whether or not said dish was made up? Thanks for the great podcasts, Mozzarella. I still, this many months after playing fucking Bloodstained, am like, strawberry spaghetti, I need to know.
that has to be fine, because I know that the Midwesterners have a dessert pasta.
Yeah,
that is apparently okay. So I imagine, like, as long as you didn't put tomato sauce in it, it'd probably be fine.
Probably be fine. Aside from that, the stuff from Dragon's Crown, but unfortunately, I can't find any krakens or basilisks. You know, kind of hard
just
to make.
Wait till Babish covers it.
But no, most of my inspiration for trying foods or cooking them come from, like, YouTube channels or the occasional anime or something. Not so much video games. But Bob, do you have anything?
Not really. I mean, Final Fantasy 15 food all looks really good, but I can't say I've ever sat down and tried to make anything like
that. That's true. Final Fantasy 15 inspired me to eat ramen, but, yes. You know, at first it started with a search for the finest ingredients.
The ultimate flavor experience.
You know, I did get a cup ramen after that, and I was like, wow, this is shit. I remember why I don't get this.
The delivery of the lines in that quest are incredible.
No,
because Ray
really
Chase goes, I know, I sure do. And he sounds upset while saying
it's so
well,
good.
Well, that's because that's that even works in character because he's fucking sick of Gladio's shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, every
we got to hunt
time.
This behemoth to get this ramen meat.
Then Dissidia had a tie-in with Cup Noodle again. You can get a Cup Noodle with Cloud Strafe on it.
Yeah.
So there's a Family Dollar like two blocks away, and that's where I go for a lot of shit that's at Family Dollar, you know, like if I want soda or potato chips or something.
Yeah.
And they have Dissidia cup ramen to this day because Family Dollar stuff is mostly like overstock.
Mm-hmm.
And just every time I just shake my head like fucking Dissidia.
Tosh, my girlfriend, her parents had a cup of that sitting out months, like last year or something. And I saw it on the counter and I'm like, Cloud Strife is not something I expected to see in the pantry of my girlfriend's parents' house.
It's like when my mom just had Noctis up on her iPad. And
yes. Bob, I think you missed that. I think that was the last mailbag.
No, I was okay. Here for that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in a Big Think.
Okay.
Yep. I remember replaying Feel's clip over and over again at 5 in the morning.
KZ, do you have anything from video games that inspired you other than the ultimate flavor experience?
In Odin's Sphere, it inspired me to make an omelet once.
Oh, yeah. They look really good.
Omelets are tasty.
Yeah, all of their games have ridiculously good-looking food, like Muramasa also has just really incredible-looking sweets.
Oh, God, and the way they animate, like, in food every stage of eating.
Yeah. Yes.
It's great.
I guess that has inspired me to go buy sushi.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, but only Dragon's Crown. Dragon's Crown is the only Vanillaware game where you get to hear Patrick Sykes go, delicious!
I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, he was the fighter.
Okay.
Mm, yummy.
I'm trying to think if he's any of the Odin Sphere characters.
I think he's one of them.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
He's not any of the main characters. He might be one of the side characters.
Because I don't remember Patrick Seitz like popping up into my vision until the PS3 gen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a PS2 game. So I don't think he was in.
Yeah, he wasn't. Right. He wasn't in it. Yeah.
Yeah, because the first big one I remember him is of course Ragna. And
right.
Plays Blue.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
there was Yuri Lowenthal was Cornelius the Rabbit guy, and Derek Stephen Prince was the Dark Knight, and I can't even remember what he's Vexen in Kingdom Hearts.
Of course, he has to be someone in Kingdom Hearts.
Creepy gangly guy. Always done by that dude.
Looking at Patrick Seitz's career, I forgot Dead or Alive 6 came out this year.
Yes.
I forgot Dead or Alive exists.
Well, yeah, I basically did too.
That was in episode one of Big Think Dimension.
More like Dead on Arrival owned.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, we said that in episode one.
I know. That's what makes it funny. More like cruise control. Anyway.
I just made that up.
My favorite, real quick, and then I'm handing it off completely to you two to finish this question. My favorite fucking joke from the critic is, "Hey, give me your keys." He gets mugged, and then Jay goes, "You idiot! What use are my keys going to be without my car?" It's so stupid. Anyway, KZ, anything else food wise?
No, that was mine. That was
okay.
It.
Feel.
So the first one is, one of the first games I played after I turned 21 was Stranglehold at the start of last gen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, based on that whatever movie series, I forget the movie series.
Bob, I feel like somehow we're supposed to remember.
It was John Woo,
It was a John Woo movie, but I forget what the movies are.
Baseball. Oh my god.
But, he drinks tequila mixed with seltzer, and he'll be like, tequila. And then they'll mix tequila with seltzer, and he'll grab the top of the glass and like slam it down, and it fizzes up.
Mm,
it looks
like,
really
I'm gonna
cool.
Try that. He chugs that down. It must taste good. And I'm like, wow, this is the force. I spit it out.
Yes. One that sounds bad too. Any idea what tequila you used?
I used the one in the bottle that has no rounded edges. 1800.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay,
it wasn't like gutter swill, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't gutter swill, but it's nothing you want to just sip on. Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
The other was the Yakuza games, because they have the like the loving rendition of every single thing he eats.
Mm-hmm.
Here you will eat. I went and made katsudon.
Oh yeah, katsudon.
Like, that's like a pork cutlet, and it's on top of rice and has egg and onion. That looks delicious. I even got the broth off Amazon, because they don't fucking have any of that here. They might now, because in the past year, Asian grocery finally opened. But they certainly didn't have it back when I did that, which would be before even 5 came out.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty good. I actually really like Katsudon.
Other than that...
I looked it up. It's based on the hard-boiled. Is the movie.
Yeah, hard boiled.
Yeah, hard boiled.
The killer.
I made a strawberry shortcake because it was in some game, but I forget which one.
Probably in Disgaea.
Oh, and I did make the center sandwich from Deadly Premonition once.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've been looking forward to doing that someday.
It was after Thanksgiving, so I had turkey, and I'm like, well, I'll just try this. And I'm like, okay, it's fine, like turkey and cranberry, turkey and raspberry, it's not that weird, and the cereal makes it crunchy, but it's not like, it's not bad or good, it's just strange. It has kind of the same energy as, I don't know if any of you have ever had calamocho, I think that's how you say it, which is the Mexican drink that is red wine and Coke. Where it's like it's you try it, just that sandwich, just you try it and you're like Like you can't have a verdict. It's just so strange.
Yeah, that seems like how that sandwich would go. Okay. Well, let's see. Next question is from Rainbow Cat. Dear Gigaliths, Mr. Kadabra, Zoroark, Executor, and Mr. Phoebus.
Why am I Phoebus? That's bullshit.
Because you are letter-wise way too close to that.
At least I evolve into something really good.
Yeah, Philotic.
What games do you recall getting into because another piece of media from the same franchise you ended up enjoying? For example, getting into Pokemon games after watching the anime first. I guess you could count Scott Pilgrim? Yeah. I guess you could count Scott Pilgrim. I owned the graphic novels and saw the movie in theater. And I thought the game had really nice animations in its trailer, so I checked it out. And now it is a valuable asset in my digital museum on my PS3, where you can no longer get that game.
It's locked in the digital future, Dan.
Oh no, get it out of the digital locker.
No, it needs to bake. It needs to look better.
We're ray tracing it's Scott Pilgrim as we talk.
It's in the PS3 home.
It's using the... It's hardware ray trace.
Man, you laugh now, but dude, they're gonna have PlayStation 5 home.
Don't even say it, Dan.
It's gonna be there.
No, they won't. They're never bringing that shit back. I think the funniest PlayStation Home thing is somebody being like, "I wanted to play an arcade machine in PlayStation Home, but they were all full. Thanks for Sony for recreating physical scarcity in the digital world."
Yeah, no, it's true. But that makes the experience special. Hey, Bob.
The corporation says as it hits you.
Bob, you got any games you got into because of the other media?
Yeah, there's actually a multimedia event from 2008 called Stands of Destruction. It was an anime, a DS game. I think they had one other media outlet they went with.
I think they did, yeah. I can't remember if it was a manga?
Maybe. But because of nature, that sort of thing. The anime came over first. I watched that. I was like, this is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
It was like production IG. It looked okay. Then the game came out, so I bought it. And the used the same character designs, but none of the same story. So it was just confusing because I feel like the anime that's been a long time. I think that it ended on a cliffhanger. It's like, okay, surely the game's going to pick up from this.
Right.
Not at all. No.
No. No. No. Fuck you.
No, characters interactions. Yeah. Characters didn't even like have introductions the same way. They didn't have the same backstory. It was bizarre.
For the record, if Red Ash had happened, that's exactly what would have happened there, too, because the anime doesn't connect to the game they were selling at all.
I still have not watched it. I forget that any part of that existed.
Yeah, right? Just that one part, and it's all right.
Both of those Kickstarters were really weird, because like the female character had a completely different skin tone between the two Kickstarters for the game and the anime.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that.
I was like...
KT Inafune's like, she is this skin tone, and then Trigger's like, no, we thought it would look better if she were slightly darker skin tone, and he's like, no, never.
How dare you?
and then
KT Inafune just spits out the 14 words.
He turns into a Chinese game console.
He turns into a Soulja Boy console.
Yeah!
KZ, do you have any things you got into because of the extended media experience?
Yes. I got into the Kingdom Hearts series because of Disney films.
I'm going to go.
Pretty good.
I'm going to go. See ya.
Dan just fades out of existence.
Are you Dan from Gigaboots? Cuts to me, I fade away.
Oh no!
That's exactly what would happen if somebody confronted you in the street.
Yes, that's true. I've done it many times. Theo, do you have anything that isn't Kingdom Hearts?
it yeah. fit the question.
No,
you've
it's,
been owned.
You're exactly spot on, the... but that's the main thing going against Kingdom Hearts for me back then, but which is why I'm dying right now. But it's fine, Theo. Do you have an answer?
I watched Inazuma 11 before I played the game, because I did go and get the game afterwards, because it's one of Level 5's mini cross-media experiences.
Yeah.
And I knew it was a game, but then I'm like, the opening, you know, is three people T-posing at a soccer ball, and then it incinerates somebody alive. So I'm like, I gotta see what this game is like. This sounds insane. And it was just like a DS RPG.
Wait, it's not a soccer game?
No, it's a soccer game, but it's an RPG.
Okay.
See, a lot
soccer
of
RPG. Level up your foot.
See, a lot of people probably don't have the same experience, but I got into Inazuma 11 because of the lawsuit. That's the extended media I got in on.
What lawsuit?
Level 5 literally started suing people based on their patents on touchscreen control. It was the most absurd fucking lawsuit I had ever read. They were like, no, our DS game is correct. Yours is wrong. And I'm like, whoa. You just patented
moving. Oh, that's right. Sega had some bullshit patent for touch controls, and they're like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. No, it's insane. It was bullshit, by the way. I've never played that game. That was just a lead into that joke.
Didn't some game have, like, some company have a patent on good camera, and that's why every camera for like a decade was terrible?
I believe,
like, they had a patent on a camera going into a wall.
I'm willing to let Japan say that's the reason their camera system sucked during the PS2 generation, but I doubt it. Namco did
Namco had the patent on loading screen minigames for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I've never seen a patent so effectively cast an entire facet of an art form or life into a no fun zone.
Who had that?
Namco. Who they had it for years.
You see, it always seems strange that it was only Dragon Ball Z games that I noticed that they always had loading screen games in them.
Yeah, I guess I had a couple others. Like, I played the Gundam games after watching a lot of Gundam. So, Battle Assault, Gundam Versus series.
I actually, it's going to be a bit of a step, so I'll tell you how I got there, and then I'll tell you. Okay, so I played Gundam Battle Assault, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this Heavy Arms dude is cool. And then I got into Gundam Wing, and then I got into fucking other dudes. And that's how that train of events worked. Thanks, Gundam Battle Assault.
Yeah, and then you fell off a cliff, but then got up, and then your theme music played.
Yes. Bob was like, hey, come to my birthday party. And I was like, I'll kill you. Wonder how many people are going to take that response to that question genuinely. I don't know. Hey, Bob, what other things?
Too many.
Yeah.
Dan loves sucking dick.
I also played the Tenchi game back in the day because I liked the anime. Had to go download the ROM for the Super Nintendo game.
The Super Nintendo. Isn't it a turn-based strategy game?
Tactics RPG, like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's pretty epic.
Whoever did that pairing of people who like Tenchi Muyo are going to love this type of genre of game are fucking insane.
It was really good. This is Ryoko, you could teleport. It was fun.
So, next question. GamerX27 says, greetings, large thought plane inhabitants, and aggro if he's possessing Bob again. No, I have no idea what you're talking about here. A thought occurred to me while considering the aftermath of the first Lords of Shadowstream and the horrible plot twist of Iosunt Dracul, and at the end of the story, quotation marks, video games as a medium... God. Seem to have either really, really good plot twists or really, really bad ones. Mid plot twists don't seem to stick out, possibly due to being mid. It's only the Kino ones or the garbage ones that stick out. With that in mind, what are your favorite and most hated plot twists in video games or other mediums? Personally, I love the plot twist. regarding the identity of party member 7 in Xenoblade 1, a twist too good to spoil in the remake, with the remake being announced. And my dumbest one is when they inexplicably made Alex Mercer a bad guy due to reasons capitalized in Prototype 2, and in doing so, wrecked a surprisingly nuanced and interesting character. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say it up front. Spoilers warning.
Yeah, every one of these would have to be spoilers.
Obviously. Obviously. For anyone listening...
Maybe you'll give a time code, I don't know.
I don't
want... No promises.
No promises.
No promises.
None.
None.
Okay, so let's talk about this Xenoblade thing. They fucking spoiled that in the fucking Smash Final Smash.
Smash Ultimate.
I would have never known if they didn't add that to Smash.
Right? Like, I would. I thought that it was weird that her moveset was so large and that she died so early.
And Bob's like, "Wow, I really respect investing that much development into a character you threw away, and then they brought her back.
You really fooled me." Or
they
not.
They don't bring her back for like 60 hours, though.
I know.
It's so long.
God, isn't that nuts?
That to happen.
I would have never fucking known. Part...
And like, to this day, the people still just call her 7 because it's like, it's such a major twist.
Also, I would like to note how funny it is the first thing we talk about is the thing that the question didn't want to spoil.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, here's the thing. The hypocrisy of talk about spoilers in other games, but I'm not going to spoil this game is really funny to me.
Yeah, it is kind of awful.
So that's why I choose to disrespect that and continue discussing that. But with that said, besides, I gave a spoiler warning up front. They should have seen it coming. Oh, man, you already stole Lords of Shadow from me. Yusuit Dracul is not even earned. It really doesn't even deserve being called a plot twist because it doesn't occur in the plot of the game. It's just a cutscene that plays after you fully beat the game, and there's nothing afterward, and it doesn't have to tie in. And
old friend.
Yeah, the plot twist before that, though, you know, where it's like, oh, you were being played the whole time, and how it retroactively makes you go, wait, but if you were the third Lord of Darkness, if you were the third Lord of Shadow, then why did the mask fall when I didn't kill you, when I killed some other thing that was posing as you? How does any of this make fucking sense? That is incredibly dumb and in the game. I need a moment to breathe because we started talking about Lords of Shadow. Who wants to go next? Bob, you got
something? I'll
go. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
I actually really like the insane plot twist in Star Ocean 3.
Okay, so if you could really fucking tell. If you care about Star Ocean 3, I guess skip ahead now.
your whole pitch during that armchair devs was like, he must at least be okay with it or he wouldn't even bring it up.
Yeah, no, I haven't played that game since launch. But I remember really enjoying that. The whole twist.
Mm-hmm.
So spoilers,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I already declared it. Go ahead.
You find out that all of Star Ocean has been taking place in a video game universe that's a simulation by these other level beings. So it's a...
fourth dimensional beings.
Yes. So yeah, it just takes it another layer up. And like, yeah, no, it was originally just an MMO-style thing, and it evolved into... what the universe is now. I was like, that's kind of
maybe because the ending is really unclear on if it's just some generic you made yourselves real, and that's why Luther, Japanese name Lucifer, couldn't delete you, or if it's just like, oh no, they're actually the same, we just punched through to this other universe.
I mean, the last thing is literally quoting some philosophy lines about thinking and becoming, or if you can think, therefore you are. I'm pretty sure it's just straight up, nah, it was made, but then the fact that it was that many conscious beings existing that made it its own universe.
By the way, real quick, because this is the only podcast I'm ever going to get to point out this on, the mistranslation is, I think, therefore I am. That's a causal relationship. The original words do not have that. It's just, I think I am.
Oh, that's right.
It's two statements. They aren't causal. But most people mistranslate it as I think I, therefore I am. Now, my highly prepared. That's right, Bob. A lot of people don't realize this is a direct ripoff of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Ship in a Bottle, where Professor Moriarty actually becomes sentient and escapes.
Cool.
But he doesn't escape.
Damn it, Phil, you're not supposed to do that. I'm trying to piss off Star Trek fans. I'm trying to leave bait for Star Trek fans who actually watched that episode, who were happy for the first half of it and got furious as I lied about what the episode was about.
But yeah, I thought it was a neat way to explain away lots of weird things throughout the series, like the constant reoccurrence of God, I've already forgotten the name of that character.
Poppy? Always comes,
not or the
Puppy
girl with the point
or
stick.
Welch, because there's
Welch.
Okay,
yeah,
that's Welch Vineyard.
Yeah,
Vineyard.
What a fucking name.
It's a good name. She wasn't even in there until 3, I don't think.
Welch Jelly.
I'm pretty sure that she was in earlier ones.
No, she wasn't in 2. They added her in 2 in the PSP remake, I think.
Huh.
But she was not in 2.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting way to take the series and was fun. Just how much can you up the ante? Oh, what if they go fight God?
I mean, the part where people are upset about the plot twist because it diminishes in some extent all the events of the other games is its own thing. And yeah, this is just a philosophical thing that's explored, you know?
Right.
It's what the
I mean, the whole series kind of uses a lot of Star Trek shit, so it doesn't bother me, but it's like,
what the fuck is that sound?
Yeah, right?
KZ, what are you doing?
I could not talk about it.
Oh, no, that was me. I rolled over a piece of paper on my chair. I picked it up now.
I was like, what, has he got snacks?
I had dropped a piece of notebook paper that I used for a bit KZ forced me to do the other day, and I rolled over and it crinkled.
Hey, it's okay. Dan will cut this out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyways, you were saying something underneath the weird sounds?
Oh, I was just saying that so much of the series is like comes from Star Trek anyway. It's like, whatever.
It's about growing.
I feel like they should never address it ever again.
I always hate things that finish, like, they all occur in a single timeline, and then they go, oh, we can't go past that point. Keep digging backwards.
Yeah, that's always just
awful.
I mean,
they can go past it, just never bring it up ever again.
I mean, things get fixed at the end of the game. Like, they all become, they recreate the universe by thinking about it, so, you know, whatever.
So it's
I
fine.
Guess they use the big think, so now it's literally a big think dimension.
Yes. That's where this podcast has been taking place this whole time. None of us are real.
And then one that's really
we're
bad.
Dimensional beings.
Yep.
Yeah. Any normal person who ate this much Taco Bell and Whataburger would die.
Yeah, exactly. You stooges, you should have realized. Bob, what's the one that's
the
really
one
bad?
One that's really bad is Lord of the Shadow Mirror of Fate.
Oh.
Where it's like, the plot twist is the Alucard is Trevor, something I told you 10 hours ago.
Something you're
we're
that
just
function
you play this
brain
anyway.
Immediately. That is unfathomable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be real. That was the worst stream I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
How does that fucking game go again? You play as Simon, then Alucard, then Trevor?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But
the plot's basically over by the time you hit that third story, so there's an entire third of the game that you feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't Trevor first?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because like, his was the hardest. Like, they already designed it all, and it was the most difficult one, and then they were like, ah, oh, fuck, we gotta stick this at the end.
They don't even need 3.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but it's too late. They need it to be three times as long.
Look, they needed it to be a 12-hour 3DS game.
The coffin reveal, I just, what?
You would never have known.
There's someone out there that thinks that was epic.
Yeah, I know. They're in my comment
werewolf
section.
Werewolf cool.
Yes, they think it's werewolf cool. Yeah. Or vampire cool.
That part
cool.
was good. Also, the part where you, like, put the whip on the women and then threw them across the fucking
you mean,
arena.
You mean when
Jim
I...
Rat Gazer and shitting his pants.
You mean when I yeeted a fucking succubus into space?
Multiple times. Okay, maybe that stream was alright. That was the one where you called Bob and then screamed into your fucking phone.
It was so much to deal with. I'd never been stuck on a stream so miserable, having my hands glued to the controller, unable to even leave the room. Because I wasn't about to hand that shit to the other two.
Hey, you got to hang out with us. You got to hear me talk about Ratchet Deadlock with Aggro. That was good.
That part was fine. It was fine. Plot twists. KZ, you got any?
My favorite plot twist, I don't really know if I'd go into it at all, though, is from the Danganronpa V3. Mm. That one has a very good plot twist.
Please do not, because I have not played that yet.
That's where I'm sitting, too. Sadly.
And anyone who's actually played it knows exactly what I'm talking about. And we'll probably go, yes, I agree, or no, I hate it.
Oh, yeah, I think I know that plot twist, but don't say it.
Yeah.
Because enough people cried about it.
Trying to think of, like, a plot twist that I generally disliked. And, like, I had one.
I mean, there's the one at the end of Tony Hawk's Project 8 where you find out it was all a dream in Tony Hawk's head.
Is that real? I never beat Project 8.
No. That's
my pitch again. No! Tony Hawk decades!
Yeah. His friend's been dead for decades. That's why the game's called that.
That's still very Kino.
You know what? Could we use our influencer power to get Tony Hawk on the line? I feel like even though we spoiled this ending to this game we haven't even made, he might be down for it.
He's like, hey, man, we'll do it, man. You know my name.
That's another
one of those things where, like, the teenage awe would overtake me and I wouldn't be able to fucking talk. It's like Tony Hawk and Hulk Hogan. I can't talk to either of them.
Those in particular.
They're very important figures in history.
They're very 90s cool.
It's like Tony Hawk's doing a melon wall. Hulk Hogan's just saying the N-word. All the things you expect from them.
So, I feel like my desire to get that done would override anything else. See, if I'm seeing someone on business, I could talk to them. If it's just I ran into a person, I would be like, oh, but shit, it's Tony. Do a melon.
Or do the Twitter guy.
Oh. Okay. I was trying to think of what game I was thinking that had a bad twist in it that I thought was bad. Okay. Fallout 4?
I was going to bring that up. Fallout 4's twist is so fucking abysmal.
We've talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah,
I think we even
talked about it on a mailbag.
Probably.
I think I talked about the character not aging for 40 years because shut up.
Yeah.
But the twist of your son's actually the villain is so fucking bad.
It's like, you see, it's because you assumed you immediately got thrown out of the cryo thing. But no, you are actually in there for an extra bit of time, so your baby is 50 years old.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
70
or 80.
I immediately had that thought in that game. Where I was like, I don't know how long this was. So, like, that's not even...
It's not inspired. Again, Fallout 4, the ending scenario I got was point for point the same one as 3. Build a giant robot, interact with the same characters from 3 while doing it.
Very exciting, very new.
The plot twist in Halo 4 where they forgot to write a villain was pretty gripping, I would say.
Don't you think you're a little biased with this Halo thing?
No, they copped to that. That's one of the few things they copped to, and I'm so glad they did. Watching postmortems at GDC is so important, you guys.
How did you forget to write a villain?
They were like, he was in the novels, didn't you guys? I'm serious. He says this. He says this on stage. He was like, we didn't realize people wouldn't have read the novels. I was like, what?
You crazy person.
You didn't realize Halo fans wouldn't read.
Dan, I have a request.
Yeah.
After this mailbag is done, I need the audio of you screaming, what do you mean Halo fans didn't read? Maybe I should add that to your part of the Big Thick intro.
I'm trying to
cycle those out for new quotes.
That's fair.
I'm trying to think of the plot twists in Halo 5 because they were also just complete trash. Like, they made no sense.
Every Halo game made by 343. Every single one of those feels like the writing feels like there's a plot twist, but there isn't. That's the weirdest part. I'm like, those games, wait, there's no plot twist. It's just stupid.
Right? It's like, and Master Chief betrayed us, but
he no, didn't.
He didn't, though.
And you already showed he didn't. It's like the plot twist, guys. I know this is hard to understand, but try to come along on this thought exercise with me. The plot twist is the gut-wrenching feeling in your stomach as you get the dawning realization that the game is incredibly stupid and will not stop at any point, and it will continue to get worse and worse.
Oh no.
Oh no.
It feels like a plot twist, but in actuality, nothing has changed in the plot. It is just still being stupid.
Isn't the plot twist in that just that Cortana's evil? I know that through osmosis.
The plot twist in 4 isn't a plot twist. It's just, here's this villain. We're not going to explain him. Here's the abrupt ending. The plot twist in 5 is we're not going to revisit the villain from 4 that we set up across all of these fucking transmedia events and shit. This game has no plot. It goes nowhere. Because the plot to 5 is you need to find Cortana, and then the other guy's told you need to find Master Chief, and that's the whole game. That's all of it. Nothing happens when you find Cortana. The game ends. Isn't that insane, Bob? I have effectively recapped.
The twist for Halo Infinite is that they are rebooting the franchise.
The twist for Halo Infinite is the game's going to ship next year, even though there's no director.
they're rebooting the series into a corpse.
What if the twist is that game ends up being really good? Be a good twist.
Halo Infinite is going to somehow be like the turducken of the Halo universe. And they're going to shove its plot into 5's plot, into 4's plot somehow.
I just remembered the plot twist from Modern Warfare 2.
That game had a plot twist?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember the plot twist. It was
your commanding officer ended up being evil, and you had to like chase him across the
river rapids. Fucking raw.
Yes.
Oh.
And then you have a knife fight.
That.
It's real good. I'm gonna be honest, Bob. When people criticized the plot of Modern Warfare 2 and said it made no sense, I was like, "What are you talking about? Oh shit! I can't defend it. I just didn't have a problem with it because at no point did it pretend its plot was important,
right? It's no, which is a cool action movie.
No, it was just fucking Michael Bay bullshit.
Yeah,
and that's the thing with me. Like, it's hard to punch down on a lot of video games because a lot of video games don't beat you over the head with my plot's important. You know?
Oh, right. I'm gonna. I got some brass knuckles on.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Okay, first, since I don't think does anybody on this podcast care about Code Vein?
No.
Oh no.
Okay. So the twist to Code Vein, which you don't find out until literally the ending, is that it's a God Eater game.
I kind of knew that as soon as I looked at it. Go ahead.
I know, Bob. Me too. But I'm upset.
Not literally. You like, obviously, it's made by the same developers and has a lot of the same aesthetic.
Okay.
But I didn't expect it to be like, yeah, the primary antagonist did. Like, the whole game takes place inside the Jail of the Mists, which is like an area surrounded by impenetrable crimson mist, and that's where all the anime vampire shit happens. And then you find out the villain's entire motivation is because he doesn't want to open the mists because there are invincible god monsters outside.
Okay.
And then you find out, no, the anime vampire shit didn't cause the apocalypse. The god eater monsters did, and they made anime vampires to fight the god eater monsters. And the game ends, the true ending, is the protagonist and all his guys opening the door of the mist and going out to fight the god eater monsters.
So when you say the god eater monsters, they're literally the same monsters from God Eater?
It's the same universe.
Okay, so this is as bad as I thought. Okay. This is the Shyamalan...
Code Vein takes place inside the God Eater.
This is like the ending of Glass or whatever.
Same depth,
where,
so it makes sense.
Where it's just like, surprise, this
started
is
right after the God Eater thing happened. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Like...
Okay, yeah.
It's like Split, where at the end it's just
Split. Okay, that's
yeah,
the
this
one.
Is the same thing.
Okay.
Another one is Bioshock Infinite.
Of course.
Where it's like, okay, the villain is the protagonist from a parallel universe, and at the end, the version, because the whole thing is about splitting timelines.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth goes back in time and drowns the Booker that becomes Father Comstock, and this is treated as a positive conclusion, even though that means every Booker that exists now is a drunken deadbeat who sells his daughter. Because it's supposed to be a happy ending. Like, Booker sells Elizabeth, who is his daughter, by the way. Elizabeth is also Booker's daughter. Booker sells his daughter to an alternate timeline version of himself because she has god powers. And the conclusion is, The future evil version of Booker is erased from history by drowning him at the baptism where he became the crazy religious figure. So there's nobody to sell his daughter to, but this doesn't solve the core issue of the fact that he's the kind of person who would sell his daughter.
I would have to play the game.
Bioshock Infinite, guys. Please look forward to our upcoming Game of the Decade podcast. To count down the best games of the
basically
10
years. It's here let me explain it without you having to understand the plot. It's fucking stupid, and they treat it as Kino and as a happy ending when it isn't a happy ending at all.
Well, I knew that because it was Ken Levine. Like, I knew the tone of it because I know Ken Levine's writing. I got that.
Did you see that DLC they put out?
No.
I did see a bit of it,
In which they're like, oh, here's the... Elizabeth goes to Rapture, but she's like older now. Mm-hmm. And I think she dies, and they try to connect everything perfectly with the first Bioshock game to effectively kill the franchise. Yep. And leave like no sequel hooks in it.
Yep.
Just leave Bioshock alone. The first two games were fine.
Or just leave it alone, period. Would you kindly?
You know Bioshock's coming back. It's gonna come back.
Yeah, it's owned by some major publisher. It's going to be really, really bad.
The best part, though, is in the trailer they show for the new Bioshock. It's gonna look a bit like the main female protagonist of Infinite, and she's gonna look suspiciously like her, and she's gonna be running from a disaster, and then all of a sudden a big daddy or whatever is gonna save her, right? And she's just going to be freaked out and staring at it. And then it's going to take its hat off and it's going to be Booker. And he's going to be like, you thought I'd let you do this alone?
I got it first 5 seconds. As soon as you start describing this bit, I'm like, I fucking hate you.
Oh, and the last one, God of War 3.
Okay, 3. I was like, don't spoil the PS4 one. I swear to God, we're beating it soon.
But yeah, God of War 3. Let's go with that.
What was the plot twist there?
The plot twist was like, the box contained hope, and then Kratos stabs himself and explodes.
What?
I don't remember the box containing hope.
I never played
hope.
2 or 3. What the fuck?
Bob, do you remember the box?
I'm trying to remember. Like,
I remember Pandora's box from 1. The whole game is him getting Pandora's box so he can kill Ares.
Yeah, so he can get
then
real big.
Then in 3, he has to get it again. He has to get it again to kill Zeus.
Yes.
And it turns out the power is hope. And the whole plot was so Athena could steal hope and rule humanity. And Kratos goes, I forget exactly what he says. He says something that Kratos would never say. It's some shit like, hope belongs to the people. And then he stabs himself with the blade of Olympus and explodes. And, like, shoots hope rays all over the world.
I thought that was destroying hope, but I don't remember anymore.
No, it's so he gives it to all the humans.
Huh. Okay.
I would assume since all the gods are dead.
It's so stupid.
It's okay.
One second.
He released all of the hope and then they, you know, made a good one of those.
God of War 3 is okay. I still think God of War 2018 is probably the best one. But 3
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's I feel like that's the first really good one. I need to finish it though.
I feel like I went back to the first one, the only one I played like a couple of years ago.
The first
went,
one.
It's a, the and I first went, this one is I, okay, but still pretty rough.
Yeah, two is, it was okay.
The first one I feel like is like the, I feel like Sony games have this thing, almost the only one that I think is an exception is The Last of Us, where it's like, the first one is rough. Like, God of War 1 and Uncharted 1 are like equivalent in my mind.
Yeah, it makes sense. Jack really took off with 2.
Stop that.
I'm gonna keep saying it.
Putting Grand Theft Auto mechanics into Jack is not an improvement. It's just a different thing.
Okay, that's true. It is a lot, very much a different thing, but I still love it.
Oh, God. I'll never get over Jack just because fucking... We have this silent platformer mascot guy. What's the first thing he says in the whole franchise? Wrong. He snarls... I'm going to kill General Praxis.
Let's not talk about that. Like, let's talk about some other good twists.
I'm gonna read this one paragraph, and then Bob can talk about his good twists. Okay. As Zeus' spiritual image attacked Kratos and infected his mind, the Spartan withdrew into his own psyche and was guided by the spirit of Pandora. After he absolved himself of his sins, Kratos was able to unlock the power that Athena had told him to find that was symbolized by his astral form opening Pandora's box, used it to kill Zeus for good, and thus the lighting of the world was unleashed. Shortly after Zeus' death, Athena revealed that years ago when Zeus gathered all the evil and trapped them in Pandora's box, she placed the most powerful weapon in the world in the box. The power of hope.
Nice.
The first time that Kratos opened the box, Athena believed that the power of hope to remain inside while Kratos drew from the evils. In truth, however, Athena realized that Kratos had actually accessed hope while the evils corrupted the gods, including Zeus, which caused him to be obsessed with Kratos' death.
What? Okay.
Until his confrontation with Zeus, Kratos had been able to... Oh my god, I can't. Bob, go.
The having
power
an
of hope
attack.
Turned him giant. Okay, nice to know.
Hope made him real big.
I call it Bob's hope.
Please don't. I'm not Rita Repulsa.
Or Mumbo.
Yeah, Infamous 1's ending. That was
excellent. Honestly, if you're playing the game, it's really well done.
Right? Like, that's a very neat thing to do. The whole idea with that one, mm-hmm. kind of similar to Bioshock.
But good. Like, really good in comparison.
The main villain you're fighting is you from an alternate timeline. So it's a much older you from the future. Who's come back to the past to try and prevent things from going so bad.
Because what happens is he survives the event, but eventually it claims his loved one. And that's when he starts to do the research into how to become an adept or whatever. I think they were called adepts in that. how to become one of those and how to train his abilities. And then eventually, through decades of research, he finds the power to manipulate that, to go back in time, to properly prepare you to stop the event from ever happening. That's the plot of Infamous One, and it actually is pretty well done, because there are very, very low-key hints throughout the game, but nothing to make you go, oh, it's fucking me. It's so fucking obvious.
Oh, God.
I have one more bad one. It'll just
good,
take a minute because
I'm thinking of one,
it.
Too.
Who the Flame Emperor actually is in Fire Emblem Three Houses, just because the game makes no attempt whatsoever to hide who it actually
please,
is.
Please don't spoil it too much. I have not gotten
I'm
there.
Not, okay. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm just going to say it's fucking, like, KZ told me something where it's like, wow, in every storyline, it's super obvious.
Great. Depending on which storyline you choose, it feels like they attempted to make it correctly, and other times they just went, nah, fucking whatever.
So they heavy rained it, where it's just, you know what? I'm not going to ask any questions for the sake of Bob.
Yeah, yeah, that's as far
oh,
as
no.
as far as you need to.
Don't remind me of Heavy Rain with heavy, the
we need
the man
to, we
beats
have
a man to death with a cash register in the 2 seconds.
Yeah, let me translate into words people who haven't played the game can understand. In order for the plot twist to have occurred, in the span of about 40 seconds, the main detective guy who has asthma attacks and is not physically well at all, apparently abruptly stomps into a fucking pawn shop and beats a man to death with a cash register for no reason. And then immediately later goes, oh no, what happened? And investigates. Is that correct, Bob?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's the dumbest shit ever.
The whole game, you're in his head.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, oh, but he was actually the bad guy. It's like, you didn't give him split personality or anything. This makes zero sense.
Oh, no, he was the oregano killer.
It's origami.
Oh, right, it's origami, not oregano.
God!
He's original crust, not
oregano crust.
And this one isn't that dumb in practice, like in context, but just when you say it, it sounds like the dumbest thing in the world. 2009 Bionic Commando and his wife being his arm.
I love that is actually one of the few things that Capcom made them do in that game.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean that shit came from Capcom?
And then they're like, oh, Super Joe's got to be a villain. Isn't that cool? Like, not really. This isn't doing anything for me.
No, as it turns out, I've never thought of Capcom when I thought of good storytelling, so maybe you should shut the fuck up.
Right?
KZ, did you have something?
There's... In the game Tales of Xillia 2, there's... The entire conceit of that game is, one, a sequel to a game they already made, so it's one of those asset reuse sequel games.
Right.
Yeah.
So they decided the plot would be around fractured dimensions of the places you've been before, where you have to go and do like a story scenario where everything's different, but the maps are exactly the same, but they're in a different color filter. And then when you beat them, you destroy that version and kill everyone inside of it, which is already really terrible because the game makes no attempt to throw in the entire... They pretend they're going to deal with the morals of doing that to the point where you bring someone back from a fractured dimension and they're only mad at you for 45 minutes.
This is just like fucking Star Ocean 4, where you blow up alternate Earth and it doesn't matter at all. The protagonist just angsts about it for a little bit.
The major twist in that being you play as a protagonist who meets a girl early on in the plot, and she's like the plot girl for the game, and that's actually the alternate dimension version of your daughter. And then one of the major antagonists is you from another dimension.
Oh man,
there's a lot of that in this section.
There's a lot of that. I it's
and
shocking
it's,
that Infamous
that's what
is
reminded
the only
me of
good.
It. And I went, this is so bad. And also, that's the reason your character is a voiceless protagonist in that Tales game, because your voice would give it away so your voice is only voice acted on second playthroughs.
See, this is okay. That okay. is funny as hell.
Two, because you have dialogue choices that when you choose them, nothing plays, but on a second playthrough, it's voiced.
It's insane.
It's funny as hell because, like, in Infamous 1, they have voice acting, of course, for Cole and the bad guy. But since Cole is just kind of gruff and future bad guy you is insanely old and gruff, you never once think, oh, that's the same guy. It's just like, yeah, that dude's like 70. Of course he sounds like that.
I'm really glad I stopped playing Tales of Zillia 2. Thank you, KZ. I didn't get to any of that.
Oh my god.
Well,
in terms of like story, that might be my least favorite one because it has a lot of potential of cool stuff that it does none of it.
Yeah, that's it was just really miserable, so I never actually even played it.
It was dealing with a really interesting thing plot-wise, and then they pretend in a couple of skits that, oh, maybe they're going to approach the fact of, you know, there's a big moral question of you
genocide.
Doing this. Nope. Yeah, talking about the genocide thing, but they don't. Like they make no attempt. You bring back a character who was there before, it's like, how dare you do this? And it's like, all right, here's a comedy skit with that character, because apparently that's just how these games have to be.
Dinner. I want to note real quick something KZ can agree with. I noticed that Infamous Second Son has the same plot twist as Halo 4 and 5.
What if someone just show up with rocks?
Where you just go, oh, this is gonna be dumb.
It's gonna keep being dumb, isn't it?
Absolutely. That is the most AAA game with all the voice actors too. I'm like, oh god, Troy Baker's here, Travis Willingham's here.
The best part is on the bad guy playthrough, it goes so much dumber. It's insane. Grandma, I found the power to reverse stone. Yeah, but you're a fucking asshole. I'll show you. I'll blow you up, bitch.
I'll power bomb.
This will show you for not respecting me. That's what Feel's gonna do.
That was my first platinum.
That was your first platinum. Wow. Mine
gotten a platinum.
Mine was Blaze Blue. Maybe? I don't know.
I don't think I have a single platinum trophy.
I've got like 17 or something.
It wasn't too bad to get that one, aside from like a couple of like specific things, like go through 18 vents without hitting the ground. And you have to like, because you turn to smoke in that, so you have to like figure out the optimal like route in the city that would do that easily. But
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. I can't think of any other terrible plot twists off the top of my head.
Person asked this question, like, man, I got so much out of this one.
Yeah. I don't have any major ones left other than Halo 2 ends abruptly. Plot twist, they didn't finish the story because that game was supposed to come out on the fucking 360, and at the last minute, Microsoft made them port it backwards to the Xbox so that way they could sell copies. It was the most insane shit in the world. That's why that game's a buggy mess. Fuck anyone who's like, Halo 2 is the best one in the series. That thing is so fucking rough, and the people who made it even admit it. Anyway.
We got through this whole section without talking about Metal Gear.
Oh.
The twist is that we kissed.
We cannot get into Metal Gear. This question will go on another half an hour.
Right, yeah. It's literally every game.
Okay.
They're both amazing and terrible.
Look, here's the easiest way to fucking do it. Metal Gear Solid 1, good plot twist. Metal Gear Solid 2, amazing plot twist. Metal Gear Solid 3, great plot twist. Metal Gear Solid 4, terrible plot twist nonstop. Metal Gear Solid 5, plot twist. You bought a game. It's not finished. The plot apparently exists.
I can't wait for the plot twist of Death Stranding.
The most positive thing I heard about Metal Gear Solid 5's plot twist was, it's actually thematically brilliant. Too bad it sucks.
And incredibly obvious.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5 has like some incredible concepts that are brought up for one sentence.
Yeah!
Yep.
Oh, how frustrating. Let's move on.
Okay.
Hobe Bryant writes and says, "Hello, big bareened Giga Chads with greater than average boots. I've been playing Code Vein, Deviant Detected, and overall liking it. And I describe it to my friends as the most 7 out of 10 game that I've played. That got us talking about what 7 out of 10 games we really enjoy, and I wanted to ask you, Lot, what is your favorite 7 out of 10 game? Not excellent, not bad, just pretty good. Also, please let Bob out of the Shadow Realm for making you watch Epic Movie. I miss him on the podcast."
How is this my fault? What did I do to make you watch Epic Movie?
You chose a list.
You selected a letter.
Technically, it was more Dan's fault for showing beer.
It's Dan's fault for being mortal. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I would say, I mean, I gave Astral Chain a 7 out of 10, right? So, that, I enjoyed a lot of aesthetic design. I enjoyed a lot of the music. There are some really neat ideas in that game. That game has some serious fucking problems. Serious fucking problems. A real disappointment, but I still enjoyed many different parts of it. It's hard because I'm actually pretty rough on games, and it's hard. Like, I don't often enjoy a game that is a 7 out of 10 all that much. So, yeah, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is probably Astral Chain, because I think Vanquish is better than a 7 out of 10. That game's excellent. I fucking love that game. Bob, do you have anything for this, or do you want me to check with someone else?
I can go. Okay, I mean, go ahead. Like, Way of the Samurai 2. I feel like that's a strong 7 out of 10.
Like, yeah.
It's a significant downgrade from the previous entry.
It was enough for me to just never even check it out. I watched you play it and said, nope.
But yeah, it has a lot of problems that came from being like, it's a whole month now instead of a week. Like, yeah, you could not make enough content for that.
To briefly explain, Way of the Samurai as a franchise is a Kurosawa film where you get to make decisions that affect the plot, and they play out over a course of days. The original Way of the Samurai was 3 days?
Something like that. 3 or 4, and then I think you could extend it a little bit on certain endings.
Yeah, and there are many, many different endings. Way of the Samurai 2 is idiotic and made it a whole month, question mark?
Yeah, something like
that. Or 3 weeks? It's fucking insane.
It's a very long amount of time. It's like way too many days.
So you can't possibly have as much variety because it's too deep of a storyline. But anyway... sorry to hijack. I just, no one knows what Way of the Samurai is, so I figured.
That's fair. I'm probably going to get blasted in the comments for this, but the Dark Souls series.
Nah.
So Bloodborne.
Man, you're rating it pretty highly there, to be honest.
Like, they feel very 7 out of 10. Like, they don't feel good to play.
They do.
But they have aesthetic choices and some other things that make them enjoyable.
I'm glad
Dark
you feel
Souls
that
is a
way.
Dark Souls series where you're like, don't worry, they'll iron out some of this stuff in the sequel. What do you mean this is their 6th game?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you mean this is their 6th game exactly like this?
I think that actually technically makes the earlier ones better because they felt less soulless.
Yeah, which is why everyone's like, Kingsfield, that's where it's really at.
I mean, having gone to Demon Souls after like playing Dark Souls 3, no. Mm-hmm.
KC,
oh, no.
KC, you only, Dark Souls 3 has twice as many frames as Demon Souls, so it gets a big boost from that. Demon Souls is hampered by running at 12 frames a second the entire time.
I can't even go back to Dark Souls 1, I just find it so fucking boring.
I can one up this. Fuck all those games. I would not give them a 7.
Of course.
So that's there, fair. I've deflected from you, Bob. Now everyone hates me again for not liking Dark Souls.
Don't worry. I think I got the ultimate one.
Oh, good. Yeah. Bob,
no,
do you
people
have...
who say Demon Souls is the best one are fucking clowns. They're the Sonic CD fans of fucking the Souls series.
Yeah, everyone knows it's Kingsfield. That's where it's really at. Hey, KZ, what 7 out of 10 games do you... enjoy 7 out of 10.
Oh, that's easy. Pokemon.
Which one?
I?
Just all of them. They're all 7 out of 10s.
I'm going to hurt you.
I'd say Black and White is like a 9 out of 10.
Black and White is damn near a 10. It is definitely a 9 out of 10. Fuck you, man.
all Pokemon games basically feel about that range for me. Where I'm like, yeah, mechanics are solid. Catching Pokemon's cool. Doesn't offer enough challenge for me in the normal way that it does. Some of the stories make me want to shoot myself.
Yeah, everything after 5th gen might qualify as a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, after 5th gen, probably.
Like an 8.
I mean, I played plenty of... Like, I played all of them. Thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying you're fucking wrong.
I just went, you know, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, real strong.
Ugh.
For me... Yeah, Heart Gold, Soul
Black
Silver
white,
is really
strong.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Brave of them to just go all original with Black and White. I respect that. But also, like, when I finish a Pokemon game, I don't go, man, what a... I don't have that great feeling that you get when you beat a really, really great game.
You don't have that money back feeling.
I did with Black and White version 2. That's the last time I had that feeling with Pokemon. Every time since then, I've just been upset. To summarize...
What are you talking about? Pokemon's raw.
It's raw. 7 out of 10. To summarize, basically every game since Black and White version 2 has been me slowly becoming that cat that's being yelled at by the two women in that fucking meme. I'm just... My eyes are becoming vertical lines as my mouth gets wider and wider in an upset expression.
I have a request for people who are listening to this. Not for that, but I need someone to draw a cat that looks like Dan, so it has like a denim jacket on and everything. Yeah, but it's that picture of the cat reacting badly to the banana on the floor, but the banana is just a Pokemon game that came out in the 3DS.
Please do this, thank you.
X and Y, particularly.
Yeah.
X and Y are like a 6 out of 10.
What's going on with that AZ guy?
I mean, I can't even fucking... Guys, as much as I would love to punch down an X and Y, I didn't even fucking finish Sun and Moon. There's just something about the structure of that game I fucking hate.
Sun Moon has the biggest... it has Final Fantasy 13 tutorial.
Yes, it does.
It's bad.
Oh, it is insane.
Is it? I thought it was mostly done after you finished the school. I can't remember.
No.
Yeah, 5 hours in when you finished the school.
That's a long time.
It's not over another 5 hours.
Dude, it's longer than 5 hours because I know I played at least 5.5 and it still hadn't fucking ended.
I never really noticed that, so I guess I just must have be mentally ill.
My issue with Pokemon Sun and Moon to try and get away from hurting feel, because that's just mean, is you finish that game, and every Pokemon game since, I guess, X and Y, you beat the league, and then there's like, you beat the champion, and then they're like, all right, ending sequences, then a bonus battle to like tie up the plot.
Uh-huh.
Sun and Moons has the worst one in the series because they make you go through like almost 25 minutes of scenes. And I'm like, why? Why does the celebration scene have to be 15 minutes long and then you fight a legendary at the end?
Actually, you know what? Because
they have big epic stories now.
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem because X and Y's ending also, like, it didn't immediately follow up with a battle, but it also, or maybe it did. Maybe you battled after that. Oh my god.
Yeah, you battle AZ during a Hall of Fame where you and all your friends get medals for defeating Team Flair.
Yeah,
even your friends
that
didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah, that fucking sucked.
Stop talking about that motherfucker who dances and I want to shove off.
It's important. You beat him in a battle and then his fucking Flabébé comes back.
Do you even... I don't remember battling him. I just remember him showing up and then falling to his knees.
See, Bob, this is how bad Pokemon has gotten. KZ thinks it's a 7 out of 10 franchise. That's how long it's been since a truly great Pokemon game came out.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we just haven't encountered one where I'm like, damn. But
yeah.
I'm not the hugest fan of Pokemon, but I do get excited for each new one.
Like, the only good thing about Sun Moon was the fill-in team. Like, the
God, fighting what? Literally Juggalos?
Yes, the
team
Juggalos
Yell.
Are hilarious.
Team
that
Yell's
was
hilarious.
Incredible.
No, Team Yell's the new one.
Oh, right, sorry.
What is this?
Team
what
Skull was
Team
the,
Skull,
was it
you.
Just Skull? Okay.
Yeah. It's just Skull.
Yeah, I like the Sun and Moon games. I preferred the revision they put out more than the original.
Wow, you're the only person I've ever heard say that.
I've never played them.
I see, because what they did is they completely changed, like, the antagonist stuff in Ultra Sun and
Ultra
Moon.
Yeah, that's the big thing I hear. Where instead of, yeah, your mom's a bitch and she's on space drugs, Ultra Sun and Moon is like, no, it wasn't really her fault.
Wow.
No, it's more than
a lot of people didn't like that.
A villain basically stops her from enacting her plan, so that becomes the focus, and it allows her to end up just being a good guy because it didn't take that extra step. But I was fine with it because the direction they went in Sun and Moon didn't go all the way, so I ended up disliking it. So I'm like, whatever, I prefer this. Though.
I have never been more... okay, so I do like Sun and Moon, but I have never been more disappointed in a game than when Lusamine, I assume that's how you pronounce it, because Lusamine is fucking stupid.
Yeah, Lusamine, sure. Yeah.
When she fuses with the Ultra Beast and becomes a big, black, Shin Megami Tensei-looking thing, and then she throws out a Pokeball and you Pokemon battle her.
That fucked me up so bad that I just went, you know, I hate this now.
Almost how I got, where I'm like, you framed this like I'm just gonna beat the shit out of this RPG boss, and then Pokeball.
That's so fucking
It's like
dumb.
The level of cowardice was strong enough to make me go, fuck it, just make Necrozma the bad guy in this reversion, in this, like,
I knew they went a different direction with the anime, so I'm not surprised they did that with the game too.
We need to not be talking about Pokemon any longer because I'm literally getting depressed and angry at the same time.
Okay, yeah, I can
don't
go,
worry,
I can
we're recording
go.
Big Think after this.
I can go. Lost Odyssey. Because that game has unbelievable short stories that they got an actual novel author to write. And then they're like, hey, do you want me to write the game's plot too? Nah. We'll just make
nah,
the most
bro,
generic thing in history.
Really good short stories that are basically the dreams of the main protagonist, who is an immortal guy.
And all of them, this is, every single one of them is him recapping something that happened in a place much cooler than anywhere you go in the main game. Where it's like, yeah, I met these, there's this continent where the wind is always blowing in one direction, and there are nomads who walk towards the wind to try and find out where it's coming from. That place isn't in the game.
That's depressing.
Like, here's this village where everybody, the water is super high quality and it's almost like a drug and makes you stronger. But it turns out the water has very faint amounts of poison in it, so that everybody dies at like age 30 and has like 40 kids. And nobody figured out it's the water, and that place also isn't in the game. So it's just all the immortal protagonists recounting these tales of much more interesting places than anywhere you go in the game. Because in the game, it's like, you know the really advanced place in Final Fantasy VIII? That's just in this universe. It's weak. It's a 7 out of 10. It's sad.
As Field does the hyper bomb, and then pumps his arm and goes weak. 7. Man, Pokemon still has me upset. I've been.
I'm sorry for doing this to you.
I just.
I'm really excited for Sword and Shield.
Lucky you. Guy who says entire franchise is 7 out of 10 is like, I'm really excited for the next stale white bread sandwich I'm going to eat.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah!
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not IGN. I can like sevens.
Go to the next question, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
I didn't know it would harm Dan. I just thought it was going to be something that would make, make the comments mad.
So... keep in mind, guys, we record this pretty in advance. It's October right now. I'm going to go ahead and call my shot. I think the most upset I will ever sound in a podcast will be the Pokemon spoiler cast.
Are you? No way.
No.
We can't top you doing Epic Movie. You were so fucking miserable.
That was really fucking bad.
Can you imagine? Okay, but even if it compares to that, that's an L for the Pokemon franchise.
That's how, I mean, that's how I feel, but we'll see
this
how
gonna
that
goes.
It's
going to be really funny when it's like, all right, let's do our Famitsu reviews. Dan, 4. KZ, 9.
But KZ, you just said the whole franchise is a 7.
Yeah, I know. Sword and Shield really pushed the envelope, and it made itself a 9.
Yeah, Sword and Shield is going to push the envelope with its curry and single open world environment.
Yes, moving on! I would very much enjoy them.
Our next question comes in
like
from
you're bitter.
From the ghost of Dr. Agro, killed this year of our Lord 2019 by the Detroit Let's Play. I will
is that
try
actually Agro?
I will try to read this in my best Agro voice. Regardless of flaccid onstage remarks to the contrary, Sony and Microsoft play a pretty apples-to-apples game in the realm of Vidya. As we stare down the barrel of a new console generation hype cycle, what hot-button buzzword design features do you foresee becoming central, taking points of contention on the road to 8th gen?
Can I go?
Yeah.
With crossplay being a big thing, one of them is going to have better input latency, and they're going to fucking beat that drum all gen.
I'm going to beat that drum all gen. It's going to be fun.
You beat that drum all the time.
Yeah, but it's going to
be
even
be
more
somebody
important.
On the E3 stage where it'll be like, oh, you play games competitively? We'll come over to Xbox where your inputs aren't getting cucked.
The funny thing is, since AMD actually cares about that shit now, it seems possible that both are going to be even better than this gen, which is great. It was weird. Sony, when they came out with that PS5 info that came out earlier this week, was talking about the controller works in wired mode, so they may actually have designed this shit to have a proper, you know, 1,000 hertz polling speed. Ooh. You know, making it legitimately better than wireless for once.
Be nice.
You can test the wired pro controller.
Please stop.
We're almost gonna reach the 1 year anniversary of a bad bit. I'm really excited
of the worst comment in the history of the world. That's gonna be really interesting, and I look forward to that. I do think input lag is gonna be super important because it's gonna become a huge thing in as you said, competitive crossplay enabled games. I think if Microsoft doesn't have an equivalent feature to what Sony is coming out with the you can install single player, multiplayer separately, that's going to be huge talking point.
That's a fucking...
And how far they were behind.
Powerful thing.
It really
like installed this gen.
Please.
Yeah, it feels like, as Bob was saying, like, you know, the installs take so much longer this gen on Xbox. It feels like Microsoft, this gen at least, did not really pay attention to quality of life and usability features that make things easier. So we may end up in a situation where next gen, the Xbox is more powerful. Maybe it even has better latency, but it doesn't have these features where it's like, hey, guys.
Can you imagine if the Xbox doesn't have, like, a...
Yeah,
an equivalent to the PS5's loading shit. Just what a bomb is.
They're both going to have SSDs. The question is, who's going to have the better stuff in place to better utilize that stuff? Because what was it? Jeff Gerstmann on a podcast he recorded a while ago now was talking about we've had SSDs on PCs for a while and our load times aren't instantaneous. Why is Sony saying that it's going to be instantaneous? The thing is, Windows gets in the way a lot. Like, you know, you have to go through the Windows. You have to pay the Windows cost for every asset you retrieve. Consoles don't have to do that. So they will intrinsically be much better at loading things insanely fast than a PC. So, yeah, I think we're saying usability, quality of life, features of OS design, storage space stuff, like, you know, whether or not you can uninstall the single player after you've beaten it. Which, you know, Sony's talking about. If Microsoft doesn't have that, that's going to be a thing. I think the important thing is that it's definitely not going to be a gigaflops war. I don't think they're going to do that this time, and Digital Foundry seems to be of the same opinion. Or at least that's what Sony is signaling. Who knows? Maybe Microsoft comes out and they're like, we have bankrupted our company just to say we have 3 teraflops! Or wait, no. Nowadays, it would be more like 15 would have to be in there to be impressive. Something something ridiculous.
Phil Spencer walks up. We put a human soul in every Xbox.
I've got.
That's why we bought Double Fine, and they just butchered Tim Schafer on stage.
Tim Schafer's in like the collector's edition.
Tim Schafer's like, "Hey, I'm trapped in this Xbox. Get me out, waka waka."
I've got a buzzword here.
Do you want to see me sing a bad song with my sock?
No,
oh, no.
Oh God, that Bob.
I
what's your
you.
Thing?
They're going to talk about 120 frames per second and have a hype word for it called ultra smooth gameplay.
Bob's correct. Bob is correct. Some game on some stage is going to be a smaller indie game or something like that, and they're going to promote the 120 hertz. They're going to be like, so on newer 4K TVs, you can play this at 120 hertz, and it feels good. And then they're going to be like,
ultra smooth.
Ultra smooth gameplay.
And then I also wrote down ray tracing, and I was like, they'll get Ray Chase to advertise it. This is good.
They'll get Ray Chase to advertise ray tracing.
Holy shit.
That's the dumbest shit in the world.
Yes, it is.
So do you think that when they're selling the ultra smooth gameplay, they'll bring some executive out, like, who they force to shave their head and then, like, rub their head? Ultra smooth gameplay.
Jay Allard doesn't work at any of those places anymore. We're safe.
What?
That would be hilarious.
Phil Spencer comes out bald.
Dude, I don't need that. I don't need the amount of wig fucking memes to come out.
This hurts. This hurts a lot.
They edit bald Phil Spencer into Sans.
Oh no.
Man, what
oh,
is
oh no. This what gonna is? Be like comparison images between him and Doug.
I need to come up with
I had
okay, go ahead.
I had all right, so they will heavily advertise the how loading screens are so short, and we'll use someone's gonna use the term gaming at the speed of light.
Okay. Okay. I think it's going to be something more about like explaining how quickly it will pass the loading screen. So it'll be don't blink load times or something like that. It's going to stress that if you blink, you'll miss it.
Oh, here'll be a buzzword. We're not owned by China.
No corporation's going to go out there and say that. Oh God. I can't think of any other buzzwords though that they're gonna use. HD Rumble's pretty funny, like from Nintendo's playbook. I figure either Sony or Microsoft is gonna have an equivalent phrasing for their own Rumble, because we know they're gonna be using newer, higher fidelity sort of haptic feedback devices. Also, I had to listen to a
imagining
fucking...
imagining, like, controllers are just $90 now.
Isn't the Switch Pro controller 80, Bob? Or is it
70? Yeah. 70.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna hit that. That's probably gonna happen. I heard...
As the Switch controller's, like, battery life.
Yeah, that's all I want. Just a really good battery life.
Well, with Xbox, you get your double A's. They last forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you.
The worst thing is I used to be against that camp, but nowadays I'm like, yeah, that's way better than plugging in my controller. I always have fully charged, rechargeable batteries. Oh, no.
I don't.
I mean, that's cool. I understand that you don't, but... like,
I'd appreciate it if the DualShock 5 has a longer battery life than fucking 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I hope
its
touchpad's bigger.
Fuck you!
I need the touchpad to be bigger than Wii U.
The touchpad's great, KZ? Really?
Yep.
What are you using it on?
Big fan.
Name a game you really liked it in.
Is it a 7 out of 10?
He's a huge fan. It's 7 out of 10. Until it's a Famitsu score that it's not.
Any game that ties its menu to the touchpad button because it's easy to press.
You know what's easier to press? A start
button. It would
also
be easy to press a start button.
The middle of the fucking controller.
No, that'd be smaller than the touchpad. Checkmate, atheist.
And
what if
raised, it would also have a more satisfying press, though, and not a mushy bullshit press.
Bob, did you see that thing? Razer's coming out with a fight pad.
No.
They're coming out with a controller. They're calling like a game pad or something. Anyways, it has mechanical switches in the buttons.
Nice.
It's made by Markman.
Oh my god. Still doesn't, that might
still
be great.
It still doesn't have a fucking micro switch thumbstick though. I don't know why that hasn't picked off. I have an old controller with that.
Yeah, I don't.
But even this shit doesn't have it.
I still don't know either. But yeah, no buzzword
I
for
can't.
Me.
Last time I thought about like Razer doing controllers is during that one Evo during Street Fighter Grand Finals
when it was like three different times. It happened so much that people using their sticks just stopped entirely.
That's
but
why
like during,
they needed Mark
during Grand Finals on like a tiebreaker match or some shit, and then Matt Katz is like, "Hey, we got some if you want." You know, when they were living.
Yeah. And Markman
Mark
was there.
Man left and they died.
And then Oh well, let's move on to the last question. Adzaragoza says, "Hello, men and manlets of the Macro Think universe. I would like to..."
Manlet growling.
Tosh was listening to a podcast, thought something I said was feel, and I was like, "No, that was me." And she's like, "Oh." And I'm like, "See, it would be this confusing if we were next to each other in person. How would you know which one is which?" And then she laughed, and I was like, "Don't tell me you're thinking you would just look down." Anyway.
It's like, no, that would be eye level.
It's going to be real embarrassing when I show up and I'm basically just the same height as you and Bob.
It's going to be
fucking...
And
you look exactly like Dan.
It's going to be fucking delightful when you're taller than Zeon and we take a picture divested from anyone else standing next to you two, so that way people are like, "Wait, how short is Zeon?"
You keep talking about this.
Anyway. The final question is from Ad Zaragoza. "Hello, men and manlets of the Macro Think universe. I would like to ask your cosmic opinions on silent protagonists and if they still belong in modern games." Oh my god. "I noticed some games like Xenoblade X, recent Pokemon games, and Astral Chain have cutscene stories that are weighed down heavily by protagonists who might as well be T-posing in the background. Do you lads think games should still use silent protagonists, or do you think studio/game designers should try to give custom/player characters dialogue of some kind?" I'm going to answer this real quick. Those things, having that problem, is only a problem because the plot didn't write a thing for the protagonist to do during those times. It has nothing to do with whether or not they are silent. They just didn't write the protagonist doing anything. Things do this all the time. Protagonists of things stand by while the plot unfolds and don't have any action until after a thing has already occurred. It's just bad writing. Fuck that. Silent protagonists can be absolutely fine. Just get a real fucking writer who knows what they're doing. Bob, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, silent protagonists can still emote. Like, Final Fantasy VII has a silent protagonist mostly, but you wouldn't know it. Like, Cloud feels like he has a character.
I mean, yeah, Cloud...
He talks a lot.
Yeah, Cloud talks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they...
He doesn't have conversations with NPCs, but basically no character did back in those gen.
No. But yeah, I don't...
God, I think just thinking about the Astral Chain one where I'm like, oh, God.
It's typically not a great thing, but I think Astral Chain is literally the worst I've seen.
It reminds me of how in the Golden Sun games you have a silent protagonist, but you have like yes or no prompts that you can answer, so that does a little bit. But in the second game, they switch pro tags to Felix, who spoke the entire time in the first game, does not speak at all.
That's
because
so
he's the main
weird.
Character, but that means the main character of one starts talking, and it's really fucking weird.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't.
That's the rule for that. And then the DS one didn't give you dialogue choices, but gave you reaction faces. So then you would like, oh, if you pick the happy one, they'll respond in a happy way, or an angry way, or in a timid way. And also, that was also a non-speaking protagonist, except when the villain showed up in that game, where his one line in the game is a censored curse word.
Kino.
It was kind of Kino. I didn't expect this 12-year-old to say fuck.
I would have blown your mind as a 12-year-old. Field, do you have anything?
Baby Dan.
I think it's... I don't think it's inherently bad. Like, nobody gives a shit that Joker in Persona 5 is silent because he's you have constant dialogue choices. But then you have stuff like Astral Chain, where it's like there's no reason. You wrote this game where there's a draft of this game where the protagonist talks, and you just decided not to pay a voice actor or write dialogue, and it just sucks shit.
You know, I would believe that, and I thought that at one point, but then every cutscene doesn't involve the protagonist doing anything, literally anything. So I think they just wrote a bad plot where the protagonist does jack shit and worked backward from there.
And even in Pokemon, the problem isn't so much that they're not interacting, but in Sun and Moon, it was that they had one face.
That was
the much bigger problem.
Hellish Ultra Beast appears. Me, girl with chicken hat, smiling blankly at it.
Yeah, vacant smile. But then there's stuff like, I don't really get why Byleth in Fire Emblem Three Houses is a silent protagonist. Because you don't have enough dialogue choices for it to really matter. And they have a voice actor anyway, so I don't know why they just didn't write dialogue for it. A lot of the times it just feels like... we couldn't be bothered.
I'm a bit more okay
with it when there's dialogue choices in the game that are like real sentences and your character emotes with faces. When it's not, and it's just the character's static the whole time, not saying anything. I also think
like it can give a good impression to some characters. Like, I think it would be weird if Link ever spoke.
Like Chrono Trigger never speaks, and he's cool.
That's like me being biased because Link has never spoken outside those bad cartoons. But I just like the idea of Link being a weird cryptid who can only emote and like runs into your house and smashes all your pots and takes your fucking money and leaves. And that's also kind of why I don't mind that Adol Kristen, the protagonist of the East games, doesn't talk, because it just sets him up as the super legendary character who shows up, beats the shit out of a god, and just leaves. But write your game for a silent protagonist. And I think you should err more on not having a silent protagonist these days. Like, you need to have a really good reason, like there's a bunch of dialogue options. And you're really supposed to project into the character. Yeah. But then you get games like Astral Chain.
Astral Chain has the problem that a lot of fiction does, where they just didn't write a thing for the main character to do. That's infuriating, because it's like, if this character's supposed to be this thing that the actions of the rest of the plot are making them out to be, why do they sit there and do absolutely nothing as the plot unfolds?
Code Vein also bothers me. It has like a lesser example of the Code Vein doesn't bother me because you do shit in cutscenes.
Oh, well, like, that sounds like a vast upgrade.
Somebody's about to stab one of your friends, and you go fucking sicko mode and get the big vampire claw and the mask and fucking impale them.
Wow, that sounds like more actions than the protagonist of Astral Chain does throughout the entire game.
Astral Chain has that problem that a lot of them have, where there are moments in which something happens and there's a chance for you to maybe explain what's going on to someone. They ask you something and you don't, because you're a silent protagonist.
There's scenes where you lightly tap a monster and it falls over, so you turn 180 degrees and look at the wall so the monster can get back up and hit you and you have to be saved.
Right. Okay.
That's
We can't.
Oh, God.
We have to be done with this.
We can't go back into Astral Chain.
No.
Yeah, we can't. So
I blocked the schlock parts out of my mind.
We have to stop talking about this. I lied, though. That was not the last question, because this next question delights me with how much I need to shut it down. Buster's Gear sent in a question. Hello, interdimensional large brains. My question tonight is, there any game from the start of the seventh console generation that you felt went ignored but would like to see as a return, as a remaster, as a remake, as we enter the ninth generation next year? Personally, my choice would be Enchanted Arms, as it was overall a solid take on the tactics-based JRPG genre. However, as it was tied to a deal with Microsoft, several aspects such as the online and open exploration sections felt rushed and unfinished. Buster, everything that happened last gen should be left for dead.
One or two?
Two. Because that is Coach.
Coach does really carry that game.
Coach does carry that game.
Of early last gen games that don't just make me sad.
I think Enchanted Arms is the one where they had being an incredibly, at this point, offensive, flamboyant gay man.
Yes. I believe
default that. Unreal Engine model. Hello.
But I... Hello there. Did you know I love dick? That's my character.
I love dick. I love it so you don't have to.
Hello, I'm a gay man. I love penis so you don't have to.
I'm going to need that clip, too.
No, you're not.
KZ, you can fucking do it yourself. You're a big boy.
I ain't sending him my audio.
just pull it from the episode.
No. Anyway, last gen. Oh boy. Oh boy.
I'm trying this. Early last gen was terrible. Like, the fact that he has early last gen.
Yeah.
Like, if it were the whole thing, there got to be some cool stuff.
Yeah, if it was the whole thing, I'd be like, Twisted Metal. Let's get a new Twisted Metal 9th gen. That game was pretty good. The problems are mostly with the single player and how it didn't really do what people who are fans of Twisted Metal would want for a single player. It was a completely linear experience, and you only took it on as three different pro tags. And that's not really what Twisted Metal is about. So it was a bit of an issue early.
Project
8.
I want
Warhawk and Project 8.
Yeah.
Warhawk's a great, that was a great game.
Lost Odyssey for me.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Genji return, but that one on the PS3 is bad.
And the one on the PS2 is good.
Yeah. So it'd be more of like, yeah, just bring back that series. Forget about that PS3 entry you made.
I can't remember. Was that Okamoto?
Game Republic guy.
Game Republicman, as we will immortalize him.
Yes.
KZ, do you have anything?
Trying to think. A lot of the ones I like got remasters or got a sequel. I guess maybe if you count Wii stuff, that was in the 7th generation.
It was.
Bring back Wii Sports.
Yes.
I feel like Punch-Out did not get enough recognition.
No, that was that kind of, I felt Nintendo just released it and didn't care, but maybe that's just me.
They just released it. They released basically a 10 and then did nothing with it and then never made a sequel.
And now they're stuck in the Luigi's Mansion mines.
Ugh.
I would kill like two Nintendo games just to get Punch-Out back.
Yeah.
Because the best we got was them putting it over on the Wii U, where they're like, we're selling Wii games on here, we'll let you do that.
It's like a
just
grand
remaster
stage.
It. It's such a fucking good game.
It's like a grand stage. KZ standing on it, and he's got one Nintendo franchise, and it's Luigi's Mansion. He's about to drown it, and people cheer, and then he lifts up the second box that has the second franchise, and it's Metroid, and people start screaming like bloody murder as he starts to drown it.
He puts it back down, Jones, at Animal Crossing, and then even more people die.
Yeah, no, people would be way
more upset. He pulls out Animal Crossing. He pulls Animal Crossing. He gets the stage gets mobbed and he gets drowned.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
Bob, I would never stand
the twist here is that I'm not actually bringing back Punch Out. I'm like, hey guys, we need this so we can get arms too.
Yeah. No. I'm 100%. Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, if Arms 2 was like a complete video game, I'd be pretty hype.
That would be nice if Arms got a complete video game in that franchise.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. The developer behind Arms did something. I was like, what if they go back to the game they made before Arms and made some fucking Mario Kart DLC? For the love of God, sell more. I'll buy it.
Yeah. No, I talked to Bob about that.
You can overprice it. I'll still buy it.
Yeah.
I'll buy another $60 game DLC.
I just want a reason to play Mario Kart that doesn't make me look insane. You know?
I'll do it. I'll play Mario Kart with you anytime.
KZ, playing Mario Kart with you is the only time I've played Mario Kart this year.
I know. That's the only time I played Mario Kart this year. Because I have no one else. It's just you, baby. Also, the Trauma Center stuff they did on the Wii was really good. I'd like to see that come back in some way.
Yeah, Trauma Center.
Especially, where they said, fuck it, we're making 6 or 7 different doctor types. We're linking all of their stories together, so if you like play in the preferred timeline order, it's actually really, really cool. Where it brings together a bunch of different stuff. I feel like they did a lot with that, and they just stopped.
Yeah, no, it's really sad that Atlas just stopped making games. Like, we just get the one thing from them once in a while.
They're so slow with everything. That's why I was shocked TMS is getting remastered. I'm like, oh no, they can't fucking make any games.
Yeah, I was shocked about that too. It's almost like the Nintendo side of that drove that decision.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that. I straight up made fun of them saying that's not going to happen. An hour before they, like, no, it exists. Because someone's like, KZ, they might show that in the direct. I'm like, this is Atlas. They're incompetent. 7 months to bring out a Persona 5 remaster to the West.
Ugh. Don't put a number on that, KZ.
That feels awful. Yeah, let's end on that note. Congratulations, KZ. You ended the podcast by being depressing.
I'm depressed about things.